It has been consistently taught in church that Jesus said the exception for divorce is adultery. That would mean Jesus changed the law of Moses, and it contradicts his statement that I did not come to change the law. Even more interesting, Jesus never used the word adultery. He actually uses the word fornication. Why is fornication the exception? On today, I'm going to explain it to you. Make sure you stay tuned.
You are listening to the Divorced Christian Podcast Show with your host and teacher, Darius Good. He is the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center and founder of Good Treasure Ministries. He is the author of the books Unlocking Godly Wisdom and The Divorced Christian. For more information, visit the website at thedivorcedchristian.com. And now, here's your host, Darius Good.
Thank you for joining us on today. You're listening to the Divorced Christian Podcast Show. My name is Darius Good. I am the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center, which is located in Connecticut. For more information regarding our podcast show, visit thedivorcedchristian.com. This platform was created for Christians who have experienced divorce. And it's a platform where people are finding healing as well as answers to some of these very difficult questions. And so our platform really centers around doctrine and understanding the scriptures. Why? Because what we've been taught in church is completely inaccurate. It's not biblical. How could I say that? Because it's not historically accurate and it violates culture. We're saying things that did or didn't happen in Israel that is completely made up. And so, as I took the time to study Judaism, which I began in 2021, I have a better understanding of the culture. I learned a lot of Hebrew words that apply, especially to this subject of divorce. And so, as people have reached out to me, I asked them to go look these words up so that they can have a better understanding of the conversation Jesus was having. If you don't understand culture, then you'll end up making up what someone is saying. It's important that we understand and do not dismiss Jewish culture. In doing so, Jesus' words make a lot of sense. And so, I have two books that's written on the subject of divorce, The Divorced Christian, as well as The Loophole. Please pick up The Loophole. This book explains why there was adulterous marriages in Israel. It explains what an adulterous marriage was according to their laws, and it also explains laws that were put in place in an effort to curb the number of adulterous marriages that was occurring. And Jesus was also preaching against adulterous marriages. So if you don't understand historically what was going on during the time of Jesus, then we end up with all this bad teaching on the subject of divorce. So thank you for joining us on today. You're listening to episode 83. We're going to address this issue of why Jesus said the exception was for fornication. Jesus never used the word adultery. And this is interesting. I was talking to someone recently, and as we said, because he was very familiar with the scriptures, and I pointed out that Jesus never said that the exception was for adultery. And he said, that is what Jesus said. No. I said, go and look. He said, for fornication. And to more even emphasize my point, in the same sentence, so if you go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 32, this is the Sermon on the Mount. In the same sentence, Jesus actually used the word adultery. So there's no confusion in what Jesus was saying. The confusion has been in the part of the church. So if you get a concordance, go to the Hebrew words. What you're going to find is the word fornication is P-O-R-N-E-I-A. Some say pornea, some say porneo. The word adultery is M-O-I-C-H-A-O. And this is the word for adultery in Greek. So we have two different words used in the same sentence, and these words are not interchangeable. So Jesus knew exactly which word he was using. Not only that, but the Jewish people listening to him also understood what he was saying. He was not putting new laws in place. So let's go back to the very beginning. As I explained, if you read Matthew chapter 5, which is the Sermon on the Mount, as I've been teaching, Jesus was not instituting new laws. He was not establishing new laws. He was not bringing clarity to the law of Moses, and now focusing on inward laws as opposed to external laws, because the law only focused on external. Not sure who made that up. Whoever that is, they need to be set down. They shouldn't be ministering, because the law addressed inward issues. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not hate thy brother. That's Leviticus chapter 19. Thou shalt not hold a grudge. Also, Leviticus 19. But you should love thy neighbor as thyself. And so we're seeing laws that address inward issues. So no, Jesus did not come to highlight the inward as opposed to the external. What he did was, and he explained it, there's some that are teaching to break these lesser laws. So he says this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. And if anyone teaches you to break these laws, they're the least in the kingdom of God. So now he begins his sermon after he explained to you what his sermon's about. And he says, the law says this, or in olden times it says this, but I say unto you, he's not changing laws. He's not focusing on the inward. He is stating lesser laws in the law of Moses. How do I know this? Because I took the time and went through every statement that Jesus made. I looked it up in the law of Moses, and I had to see, was there a consequence for doing this action? Is there a consequence for turning the other cheek? And what you notice is Jesus emphasized, if you are struck on the right cheek, meaning your backhand. Hey, so if that's the case, if your backhand, according to the law of Moses, was there a different penalty than if you're struck with the palm? And of course, I found all of the consequences for every statement that Jesus was making. If they take you to court and sue you, and they sue you for your coat, give them your cloak as well. I found in the law of Moses why Jesus stated to give them your cloak. They have specific laws in place regarding the issue of owing someone a debt. And so I do cover this in my book, the Sermon on the Mount. The link is in the description of today's episode. So you can purchase this book. I went through every statement that Jesus made, and I'll give you the Old Testament scripture, and I explain the consequence of what Jesus was saying to them. So with that being said, Jesus' statement regarding divorce also has to be in the law of Moses. He's not putting new laws in place. He's not putting restrictions on divorce. That's not what he did. He's saying there are lesser laws in Israel that are being broken. So what you would discover is he named the greater law, or the weightier law, which was divorce. If you put away your wife, or another way word to use is send her away. If you send your wife away, the law requires you to give her a bill of divorcement. You can find that in Deuteronomy chapter 24. He says, but I say unto you that if you put her away, or another word, we're going to use the word send her away, except for the cause of fornication, then you cause her to commit adultery. What he did not say is if you send her away and give her a bill of divorcement, then you cause her now to commit adultery. He never said that. Because once she had her bill of divorcement, she was free to be another man's wife. So a woman that was only sent away, she did not have her bill of divorcement. This woman took on the status of aguna. Please look this word up. I didn't make it up. A-G-U-N-A-H, which were women that were trapped in their marriages in Israel. They were essentially separated from their husbands, but could not remarry because they did not have a bill of divorcement. In Israel, they have the aguna crisis. It's a massive problem, according to the law of Moses, as it's a loophole. As men figure it out, I can just walk away. I can remarry because men did not require a bill of divorcement, but women required a bill of divorcement in order to remarry. So this is why you cause her to commit adultery, but he's not talking about the sin of adultery as in a woman cheating on her husband. In the law of Moses, they had another law called an adulterous marriage. And so in my book, The Loophole, I go through 6 unlawful marriages. Actually, there's 7 that I cover in the book, but there are unlawful marriages in Israel. One of them is called an adulterous marriage. How does that occur? It occurs when a woman's husband, he leaves and is believed to be dead. A witness says, I saw the funeral, or I witnessed his death. She's now given the right to remarry by the court. And lo and behold, one day, the husband shows up alive. And if this is the case, then she's still legally married to her husband. She doesn't have a divorce. So now she's married to this second man, and the law required both men to divorce the woman, the first husband as well as the second husband, and then she was free to be a third husband's wife. But this is the law pertaining to an adulterous marriage. I cover this in the book, The Loophole. I also cover it in the book, The Divorced Christian. So this is what Jesus is talking about in this case, a woman that is not divorced. Whosoever shall put away his wife causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is put away. That word divorced is not in the scripture. Go to the concordance, go to the Greek, and you'll see that he's still talking about a woman that's been sent away, not a woman who has her bill of divorcement. And if you marry this woman, it's considered a adultery or an adulterous marriage, because she's still legally married to her first husband. We have the same thing in our states, United States, that if I'm legally married to my wife and I leave and marry another woman, I can't marry her. That's the law of our land. So in Israel, men were permitted to take multiple wives, but the women weren't. The woman had to have a bill of divorcement. She could only be married to one man at a time. Now, Jesus said, except for fornication. So within the same sentence, he is using the word adultery and he's using the word fornication. Now, what's been taught, I've heard two teachings on this. One teaching explains that fornication deals with sex before marriage. By the way, this is a English definition. It comes from England, European definition. And then it became an American definition that the word fornication is associated with sex before marriage. With that being said, a lot of Christians teach you can only get divorced during your engagement period. Once married, you cannot get divorced, because Jesus was saying there's a limitation. There's an exception. So now you can only get divorced if fornication is being committed, and you can't commit fornication once you are married. That would be considered adultery. So that's one line of thinking, which is completely wrong. The second line of teaching, which is very common, is that Jesus actually meant sexual immorality. So if a woman was involved in sexual immorality, now you have the right to divorce her. This is the exception. Otherwise, and this is where they draw this whole conclusion. Otherwise, if you divorce a woman and she remarries, she's now in an adulterous marriage. Christians have completely made up that teaching. So in the law of Moses, we're talking about a woman who's actually married to two men at the same time, because she was not legally divorced from her first husband. That's not what Jesus is not talking about. After you get divorced, God views you now still legally married to your first husband, even though you have divorce papers, you have your bill of divorcement, you have a divorce decree from the court. That's not what Jesus was saying. You're not still married in heaven to your first spouse. Jesus is not changing the law of Moses. That's what he stated in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. I did not come to change the law. I did not come to destroy the law. I'm emphasizing these lesser laws, and we have this problem that's going on, and I am a preacher of righteousness. I'm telling you, keep the law. From the weightier laws to the lighter laws, or from the greater laws to the lesser laws. Keep it in its entirety. So don't commit adultery, and don't put women in a place where they're now stuck and cannot remarry. They're going to enter into an adulterous marriage. This is a problem. So now, why would Jesus say the exception is fornication? This is very interesting. So if you go back to the list that I have, If you go to my book, The Loophole, on page 57, I have a list of the forbidden marriages in Israel. Number one, they were forbidden to marry anyone that was non-Jewish. Now, understand, that meant that once you convert, you were considered one born among them. So they were open to conversion, but you could not marry someone that would not convert. Number two, could not marry the daughter or the son of an adulterous or incestuous union. Marriage with a child born of an adulterous or incestuous relationship was prohibited. These people took on the status of mamzer, M-A-M-Z-E-R. You could take the time and look that Hebrew word up. Number three, a married woman or man until the civil and Jewish divorces have been completed. That's the same with our law. I can't marry a woman that's currently married. Even if she's separated, if she's going through the process of divorce, you got to wait till the divorce is complete. Number four, cannot marry his own divorced wife after her remarriage to another man. And that included whether this the second husband died or they ended up divorced. He was not permitted to go back to her. And that's according to Deuteronomy chapter 24. Number five, could not marry a woman with whom he committed adultery. Even if she's now divorced or widowed, if there was any thought that there might be some infidelity there. They had this blacklist that they kept in Israel. They still keep it today, where there's a concern of infidelity, because they view adultery and infidelity as the same. If there's concern of infidelity, the priest would not marry her to that man. And then number six, the Kohen, the priest, they had a list of who they were not permitted to marry, and we won't get into that today. So let's go back, because when Jesus said the exception was fornication, we have to understand, what did fornication mean in Israel? Not in the United States, not in the Webster Dictionary, not in England. What did the word fornication mean in Israel? And if you look this word up, what's interesting is you end up with two definitions. So if you go to the concordance and you look up the word fornication, which is P-O-R-N-E-I-A, you're going to find that it deals with illicit sexual intercourse. So it has under A. So we have, that's the main definition. Under A, we have adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, intercourse with animals. And then under B, it says sexual intercourse with close relatives. What's interesting is on the forbidden list, forbidden marriages in Israel, on that list, the second forbidden marriage was an adulterous marriage, which I already explained, a woman who ends up married to a second man without a valid divorce, and an incestuous union. Incest. What does that mean? It's they married a relative that was too close in kinship. Where do you find this unlawful marriage at in the scriptures? You find it in Leviticus chapter 18. What's crazy is the answer was always right in front of our face. Whoever put the concordance together understood what fornication meant in Israel. The problem is Americans don't understand Jewish culture, and we do not understand Jewish law. And so because of that, we've made it up. And then we put these rules on our church members, and it's not even true. This is why when we talk to Jews, they stare at us like we're crazy. I've been meeting with a rabbi, and we have great conversation. Why? Because he understands, I understand the Old Testament scriptures. I understand the law of Moses. I understood their laws and how those laws were executed. I understand Jewish culture. But when you don't, they stare at us and they say, you guys are crazy. And you've made this up. You got this weird religion. And so, fornication actually means you are married to a close relative. It is called an incestuous marriage. Now, in the United States, I cannot marry my cousin. And there are certain relatives. You can't marry your wife. I mean, your mother. There are certain relationships in the United States you cannot be married to. In the United States, that marriage would then be considered annulled. is not considered a valid marriage. So now, as I'm reading this in the scriptures, wait a minute. What are the rules for a incestuous marriage in Israel? I know in an adulterous marriage, you have to be divorced by both men. And then she is free to be a third man's wife. But what's the rule when it came to incest? Because we know in Leviticus chapter 18, we got this full list of who you cannot be married to. But what happens when you find yourself married in this sort of scenario? Well, the rule is that you do not need a bill of divorcement. And this is why it is the exception. In this case, you put her away. You send her away, but the court is not going to issue a bill of divorcement because they viewed the marriage as being invalid from the very beginning. So if you go to my book, The Loophole, on page 139, I have a quote from the Jewish Virtual Library. It explains, this is jewishvirtuallibrary.org. You can go to the website, jewishvirtuallibrary.org, and type in prohibited marriages. What it's going to explain is the legal consequences of prohibited marriages. Notice it's going to explain two of the unlawful marriages, the same ones that Jesus addressed in Matthew chapter 5, verse 32. Same one Jesus addressed in Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. This is what it explains. So far as the parties themselves are concerned, no legal consequence at all attached to a marriage that is forbidden, such as incestuous, according to the law, and there is therefore no need for them to be divorced. There's no need to have a bill of divorcement. It goes on to say, though, their children will be mamzerim. So if this woman and man who found themselves too close in relationship has children, those children would take on the status of mamzer, M-A-M-Z-E-R. And I'll show you where this is at in the law of Moses. Let's go on, because it's talking about the second unlawful marriage. It says only a marriage of a married woman to another man, although it's invalid, it requires that the woman obtain a divorce not only from her husband, but also from the paramour. So this is exactly what I just explained to you. In the case of an adulterous marriage, she has to receive a bill of divorcement from both men. But that does not apply in marriages when it's incestuous, when it's considered too close in relationship. But in both of these circumstances, the children of both of these unlawful marriage take on the status of mamzer. Where is this law located? Is located in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. The word bastard, if you look it up in the concordance, is mamzer, M-A-M-Z-E-R. These are children, a status was placed upon them as a result of their parents having these unlawful marriages. The term is illegitimate. These children were born in illegal marriages. And now mamzer, because the word bastard is another word that we use that we don't use the Israelite definition or the Hebrew definition of the word. We've been using an American version, a European version or definition of the word bastard. In our country, in our culture, the word bastard means a child born from a unwed parent to unwed parents. That's not what it meant in Israel. It was a child born in a unlawful marriage. And this is drastically different. It's important we don't dismiss culture when it comes to reading the Bible and the scriptures. So if you want the Old Testament law that Jesus is referencing when he talks about divorce, that is Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 2. In a adulterous marriage and also in a incestuous marriage, they produced children that took on the status mamzer or bastard. These children could not enter into the congregation, which really meant they could not hold priestly duties. They could not do priestly duties in Israel. It didn't mean they had to be isolated and could not live amongst the Israelite people or the Jewish people. Now, in addition, let's add this on before we leave. Why did Jesus address this? So number one, the adulterous marriages, massive issue in Israel. And we'll cover that at another point. I think we've covered it already, but we'll cover it again at another point of what led to all these adulterous marriages there in Israel. All these women that were stuck in marriages, the Aguna crisis, still a problem in Israel. But in the incestuous marriage, not a common problem in Israel. But there was a woman by the name of Herodias who divorced her husband, which was illegal, number one, because women could not initiate a divorce in Israel, only the man. But number two, she married her husband's brother. John the Baptist called her out on this, and so did Jesus. When you read Leviticus chapter 19, this was against the law. So she had an unlawful marriage to King Herod. She broke two laws under the law of Moses. And Jesus is addressing this when he talks about fornication. The exception is fornication. You don't need a bill of divorcement, but it's still a unlawful marriage. You're listening to episode 83. Make sure you share this with somebody. Until next time, be blessed.
You've been listening to the Divorced Christian Podcast Show with your host, Darius Good. This was a Good Treasure Ministries production. Darius is the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center, and he is the author of the book, The Divorced Christian. To learn more about this book and other books written by Darius, or to listen to other episodes of our podcast show, visit our website today at thedivorcedchristian.com. We pray that today's episode has brought revelation, understanding, and healing. Please like, share, and subscribe to our podcast show. And until next time, be blessed.